Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10 o'clock service on Sunday, September 8th, 2019.
Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Thus saith the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Epistle Philemon 1-21. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker in Achaia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. And I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be compulsion, but at your own free will. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone does not come to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled. The word became flesh for my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Bring me out myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. To your
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, are there any haters in the congregation today? Are you a hater? There are those in society today who are fully convinced that you are. That you are narrow-minded and intolerant, that you are bigoted and spiteful. And why might that be? Because you're Christian. My friends, that's all it takes. And sadly, this causes far too many believers to anguish. Christians weep and gnash their teeth and ask, why? Why do people hate me? To which I respond, you don't know. Have not you been paying attention to Jesus? 2,000 years ago, Jesus told his followers, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Nothing unclear about those words, is there? So why do so many of us get so overwrought by society's hatred for Christianity? You know, if you are true to your Christian convictions and are bold enough to speak out against the immorality of this broken society in which we live, you're going to be branded as a hate monger. And because you stand up for something that God clearly says is wrong, there will be people who will insult you, criticize you, ostracize you, and treat you like a leper. But rather than get discouraged, rather than get angry, rather than get upset, you must feel compassion. Because they don't understand. A true Christian's words are not motivated by hate, but by the love of God and Christ. Christians who truly care about people who are caught up in some sin will warn them about the consequences which unrepentant sin brings upon body and soul. And that's why we, who hopefully are all motivated by the love of Jesus Christ, can find today's text to be challenging. I mean, are we really supposed to hate our families and even ourselves? Well, I guess that depends on what you mean by hate. Now, if hatred means belittling people, calling them names, denying them a place in society and free speech and human dignity, then hate is wrong. It's wrong to make fun of people in a way that hurts them on the inside. It's wrong to yell at people and humiliate them. It's wrong to call them derogatory names. It's wrong to lie about them and misrepresent them before other people. It's wrong to treat people differently and deny them love because you don't like how they look or the things they cannot change about themselves. It is wrong for us to do anything that contradicts the love of God for all people. Jesus himself said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. If you love only those who love you in return, what good is that? Everybody does that. Love those who don't love you, and I will reward you in heaven. But then again, as we look at today's text, Jesus did say the word hate as well, didn't he? In fact, Jesus said it, that if you don't hate others, others close to you and yourself, you cannot be his disciple. These words are in the Bible. So how do we reconcile these words with this command to love everyone without exception? Well, first of all, we must understand the nature of the Bible itself. Quite contrary to our politically correct culture, God does not parse words. And with God, nothing is relative. And God does not care about your own personal and selfish perspectives. God does care about your eternal soul. So God does not speak about what he may like or dislike. God is very clear about what he loves and about what he hates. And as God's children, we should be equally clear and bold in our words and our actions as well. Because our Lord reminds us, you cannot be at peace with God and with the world. Jesus told us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, Jesus doesn't say the servant should yell at the other master, call him names or discredit him, or try to ruin his property and his business. But he will have to obey the call of one master and ignore the orders of another. That, my friends, is the biblical definition of discipleship and Christian love and hate. So, when your family, your friends, or even you think about following someone or someone else other than Jesus, you have to say no to it. You have to turn away from it and you have to deny it. You have to stop looking at it and you have to stop listening to it. Because you cannot follow Jesus and obey another voice. Jesus will not cater to some selfish whim because it makes you feel good. And Jesus doesn't care if the government says it's okay for you to do something that he says is wrong. And Jesus does not care if everyone's doing it today. You got to make your choice. Jesus will not take second place to anyone or anything. And we make Jesus into something less than God when we don't take his commandments seriously. And ignoring his words mean that we hate him. So Jesus tells us to hate others. What does that mean? We should be willing to renounce everything and anyone that would keep us from following our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to do that? Or does that sound too far-fetched to you? Well, if it does, I want you to stop and I want you to think about what it would be like if we honored all our commitments in the same way Jesus expects us to honor him as God. When a man and woman marry, for the rest of their lives, they would honor each other. They would not let anything come before their commitment to each other. They wouldn't drift away from each other. They wouldn't look elsewhere. And their love for one another would only grow stronger and stronger with each passing day. You could trust your employer to treat you with dignity and respect. He wouldn't fire you just to reduce payroll and benefits. He would know that you're doing your very best to produce the product or service your company offers, and he would never fail to tell you so. If your children honored you in the same way that Jesus expects us to honor him, there'd be no arguments in the home, and discipline would be a joy because kids would obey their parents, and parents wouldn't overburden their kids with expectations and chores and other activities. And children, parents would give you their undivided attention, and they wouldn't exclude you from all their adult fun. And yet, how often do we see this in our world today? You know, when we actually encounter some person who acts honorably, It's cause for recognition. It's news. We call that person extraordinary. And we talk about that person you need to know. Fellow Christians, what do we need to know? Well, if you're thinking about what it means to be a Christian, Jesus wants you to count the cost. If you want to follow Jesus, then you have to follow Jesus. There is no saying, hey, Jesus, you go on ahead. I'm going to catch up with you later. I got some things I've been wanting to do lately, and I'm going to do them first. There is no hiding your sinful intentions or behaviors, because God sees absolutely everything you do. And God says to you, give it up. You cannot follow me and act in that way. And if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to make a big difference in your life. And people everywhere are going to notice that difference. There is no time when we cannot show love for others. Now, it's true that one of the ways we show love for people is by warning them of what their sinful life will result in. And if it goes unconfessed and unforgiven, that's eternal damnation. So we are right when to be alarmed when sexual immorality is called a civil right, or when someone refuses to give up behaviors that hurt others. Christians cannot ignore that kind of stuff. And it needs to be exposed for what it is, because it is misleading people and leading them on a road to hell. It is the cause of much suffering now, and it will lead to eternal suffering of the worst kind. And therefore, it is not being hateful when you tell people what God has said about it. So what does all that tell you? There's a cost to being a Christian. Your salvation is the free gift of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took God's wrath for all of our sins upon himself. And when the Holy Spirit brings someone to believe in Jesus' love, that person is declared to be not guilty because of what Jesus did for us there. It is God who saves us, and we do not add to that salvation. Every Christian should know that. And every Christian should also know that we are always to follow Jesus. Our faith is being expressed in our actions, and we are to love God by obeying his commands, and to love others by serving our neighbors. And that is whoever is around us, wherever they may be and are in need. They may be our friends, they may be our enemies, but who they are doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this: God calls upon us to serve them all, for that's the cost of being a Christian. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, with these words, Jesus asks you, are you ready to put everything else on hold while you follow me? Be cautioned. Bad things may happen to you. But Jesus says, trust me. People may call you names, but Jesus says, don't listen to them. Listen to what I say. You're going to have to help people you don't necessarily like being around. And Jesus will point you to the cross and remind you, I did that for you. You're going to have to hold your tongue. You're going to have to open your wallets. Jesus says, there is nothing that will bring you more joy than I can. This is the cost of following Jesus. My friends, are you still going to follow him? On this morning, I encourage you to go ahead, count the cost, and I'm going to urge you to follow Jesus. And in doing so, I will make you this promise. He will not disappoint you, and you will not be disappointed. Go with him and go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not afraid to die.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.